Sermanizi, please straighten the rows. Allahu Akbar. الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمدا الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Inshallah, after the remaining dua, the lessons of tafsir from Surah Al-Kahf will take place. With the request to participate, inshallah. The PowerPoint slides, as always, we have the PowerPoint slides so you can see the each ayah as well as the translation of each ayah, inshallah. Baqiya dua ke baad dars e Quran hoga, so te shirkat tarma, inshallah, fayda hoga. Allahumma tassalam, kassalam, tawab, tiyala, jalani, wa ikram, wa ma'in, nada, dikrika, wa shukri, ya asam, اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولأساتذتنا ومشاهدنا واستغفر الله ولمن لو حقنا علينا ولمن وصلنا وجعلنا شبه الجماعة صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم اغفر لنا بحلالك الحرام اللهم اصلح احوالنا اللهم اغفر لنا بحمد الشام صلى الله عليه وسلم واجعلني مقيم الصلاة من ذريتي ربنا تقبل الدعاء واغفر لنا واغفر وارحمنا انك انت الاعزل واغفر وارحمنا انت الشام صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى الله وسلم على النبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين رحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. إن شاء الله brief lesson of tafsir, but do participate إن شاء الله. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ويسألونك عن ذي القرنين قل سأتلو عليكم منه ذكرا. إنا مكنا له في الأرض وآتيناه من كل شيء سببا. فأتبع سببا حتى إذا بلغ مغرب الشمس وجدها تغرب في عين حمئة ووجد عندها قوما. قلنا يا ذا القرنين إما أن تعذب وإما أن تتخذ فيهم حسنا. قال أما من ظلم فسوف نعذبه ثم يرد إلى ربه فيعذبه عذابا نكرا وأما من آمن وعمل صالحا فله جزاء الحسنى وسنقول له من أمرنا يسرا صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم نحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين وبشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم أما بعد الحمد لله سوف في سورة الكهف الله سبحانه وتعالى has mentioned certain incidents which highlight the greatness of Allah, the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ilm of Allah, the knowledge of Allah, the qudra of Allah, the might and power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the irada of Allah, the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sifat, His qualities. So Surah Al-Kahf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is highlighting His sifat, His qualities through different examples. Allah ta'ala kuch misalun se hame apne qudrat par قدرت کا جو ہے ایک نمونہ پیش فرما رہے ہیں اور اپنے علم کا نمونہ پیش فرما رہے ہیں In the story of Sayyidina Musa and Khidr علیہ السلام is an example of Allah's ilm how Allah's ilm encompasses everything and nobody can claim to understand Allah's ilm and here in and after that we had the incident or before that rather we had the incident of the two brothers and the garden that they had so Allah's power, Allah's irada Everything happens only through the irada of Allah. One brother said, کہ میرا جو ہے باغیچہ اتنی خوبصورت باغیچہ میں نے اس کے اوپر 40 سال 50 سال محنت کی ہے اور مزدوری کی ہے اور ابھی جو ہے اتنی خوبصورت باغ آپ کے سامنے نظر آ رہی ہے یہ میری کمائی کی وجہ سے میری محنت کی وجہ سے One brother made the claim that I did all of this. I built all of this. شاندار, beautiful garden and subhanAllah, fruits and harvest. Can you see the screen? And rivers and all of this is because of me. So here Allah Ta'ala showed His irada. The irada is Allah's. The plan is Allah's. The will is Allah's. إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَنْ يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ When Allah wants something to happen, Allah says, happen and it happens. And subhanAllah, everything that is to happen, everything that has happened, everything that is happening, everything that will happen, all of this has already been written by Allah Ta'ala in Lawh al-Mahfuz. Everything is planned. Nothing is to do with me. Everything is Allah Ta'ala ne kiya hai. Allah Ta'ala ne karwaya hai. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala ki hikmat iske saath thi. Allah wanted it to happen. Allah wanted it to happen. Allah made it happen. Allah decreed it. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala decreed it to happen. So this is the mentality that as a Muslim I need to have. Nothing happens without the will of Allah, without the permission of Allah. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us this beautiful lesson. Every time anything would happen, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would say, قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ مَا شَاءَ فَعَلْ Allah has decreed it. کبھی بھی اگر کوئی مسئلہ ہوتا کبھی بھی اگر کوئی اچھی بلی جو ہے صورتحال پیش آتی نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم فوراً فرماتے تھے قدر اللہ وما شاء فعل اللہ نے اس کو مقدر میں لکھا ہے اور جو اللہ تعالیٰ چاہتا ہے وہی ہوتا ہے So it's like reminding ourselves whatever Allah wishes that will happen anything good bad قدر اللہ وما شاء فعل in any good situation الحمدللہ الذی بنعمته تتم الصالحات any bad situation الحمدللہ على كل حال ہر وقت اللہ 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 Everything happened. And finally, subhanAllah, one more manifestation, one more example to show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power. And again, this is just jalak. These are just glimpses. Okay, how powerful is Allah? How powerful is Allah? And remember, this is all happening, subhanAllah, because the Yahud of Medina Munawwara, there's different opinions mentioned in the books of Tafsir. Either it's the Yahud of Medina Munawwara who asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Tell us about this person, his name is Dhul Qarnayn. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنْ ذِي الْقَرْنَيْنِ And they are asking you about Dhul Qarnayn. Another opinion is that it was the mushrikun of Makkah who were asking these questions because they were inspired by the Yahud of Medina. جب مکہ کے مشرکین جب وہ سوچتے تھے کہ کوئی بری سوچتے تھے کہ نبی اکرم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کو کسی پندے میں ہم پھنسا دیں تو کیا کرے؟ تو یہود کے پاس جاتے تھے کیونکہ وہ بڑے بڑے عالم تھے کہ ہمیں کوئی ایسا مسئلہ بتا دو کہ محمد کو یہ مسئلہ نہیں آئے گا کوئی ایسا سوال بتا دو جس کی جواب محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کو نہیں آنے والی So when they would be deceived, when they would be thinking of how to kind of catch out the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the mushrikun of Mecca, they would go to the Yahud of Medina and they would say, give us an idea. What can we do? What can we say to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? If we can just prove him wrong, in anything, then that's it. That's the gotcha. Everybody else, we can say to them that he's not a true prophet. He doesn't know the answer to this one. So they were always going, you know, for guidance to their big shaitans. That please tell us something what we can say. Tell us something what we can do. So if you remember that Yahud said, ask him three questions. Guaranteed, if he's not a true prophet, he's not going to know these three questions. The answers to these three questions. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ. Ask him about the soul. What's the nature of the soul? Secondly, asking about those fatah, those youngsters who left their home out of fear of their king. What happened to those youngsters? And that's where Allah Ta'ala talks about the Ashabul Kahf. And the third question was, وَيَسْأَلُ. Ask him about ذُلْ قَرْنَيْنِ. Ask him about ذُلْ قَرْنَيْنِ. Now the question here is, first is, who is ذُلْ قَرْنَيْنِ? وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنْ ذِي الْقَرْنَيْنِ. And they are asking you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about a person called ذُلْ قَرْنَيْنِ. قُلْ سَأَتْلُوا عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْهُ ذِكْرًا. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to them, سَأَتْلُوا عَلَيْكُمْ. I will recite to you something, some mention of him. I will recite to you a small portion or a small bit or a small part of the life of ذُلْ قَرْنَيْنِ. سَأَتْلُوا, meaning I will do tilawat of it, not سَأَذْكُرُ. If Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, سَأَذْكُرُ لَكُمْ, I will tell you, I'll inform you, then it means he's telling from himself. But here, سَأَتْلُ, I will make tilawat, meaning Allah Ta'ala will reveal upon me some details, some information about the life of ذُلْ قَرْنَيْنِ, and I will then recite that in front of you. And that's all the knowledge that I have about ذُلْ قَرْنَيْنِ. I don't have any more knowledge about ذُلْ قَرْنَيْنِ. Matlab, میں آپ کے سامنے تلاوت کروں گا کچھ ذکر ذو القرنین کی. نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم یہ نہیں فرما رہے ہیں کہ میں آپ کو بتاؤں گا. میں تلاوت کروں گا مطلب اللہ تعالیٰ نازل کریں گے اور میں اسی کی تلاوت کروں گا. اس کے علاوہ ذو القرنین کے بارے میں مجھے اور کوئی علم نہیں ہے. حتیٰ کہ to the extent that نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم the مستدرک امام حاکم اللہ حاکم رحمت اللہ علیہ brings a حدیث that نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم himself said لا أدري أهو نبي أم لا. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I don't know whether ذُلْ قَرْنَيْنِ was a Nabi or whether he wasn't. So this is a big dalil against those people who says Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has ilm ghayb kulli. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has all the knowledge of the unseen. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clearly saying, I don't know whether ذُلْ قَرْنَيْنِ is a Nabi of Allah or whether he isn't. Matlab, in the Quran, Allah hasn't, subhanahu wa ta'ala, has not told me this. I can only tell you what I know, and that's, I will make tilawat of it to you. So who is ذُلْ قَرْنَيْنِ? So many opinions. SubhanAllah, you look in the books of tafsir, you get baffled, right? Majority of the early mufassirun mention that according to their opinion, ذُلْ قَرْنَيْنِ was Alexander the Great. That's what they say. But it doesn't add up. Because from what we know and what history has preserved, Alexander the Great was not a Muslim. He's not a believer. But then recently, I was listening to one scholar. Alexander the Great's teacher was Aristotle. Aristotle was like the close advisor, tutor of Alexander the Great. Many of the philosophers of old used to say, Ibn Sina and Ibn Rushd, the Muslim philosophers, used to say that Aristotle was not a Muslim. He was an atheist. However, when Alexander the Great passed away, when he died, at the age of 30, 35, 36 something, when he died, Aristotle, his teacher, wrote a letter to the father of Alexander the Great. In that he made taziyat. In that he kind of said that if, you know, Alexander was good, then on the day of judgment, he will see a good return. So if he was a mulhid or an atheist, why would he mention these words? So some scholars said that Aristotle was actually a theist. He believed in one Allah. Allah knows best. Allah knows haqiqat. Muslims became very kind of awestruck by Aristotle and Plato and the philosophers. Anyway, this is a big opinion, Alexander the Great, because we know Alexander the Great was one person. He was born in a place called Macedonia. And he conquered so much of the world, Greece, and then he went through Persia, and then he went all the way through to India, and then he conquered so many lands, and then he died. So they say ذُلْ قَرْنَيْنِ was Alexander the Great. Another opinion, which is probably more sounder, is that there was a king before Alexander the Great. He was a Persian king. His name was Cyrus the Great. His name was Cyrus the Great. And this makes more sense. Again, there are some question marks about Cyrus as well. Why this makes sense is because Cyrus the Great, again, he was a Persian king who actually conquered so much of the world at that time, to the extent that they would say he's the king of the whole world. What they would mean is he conquered as much of the west he could get to, as much of the east, as much of the north and south that he could reach. He conquered all of it. Any army he faced, he would win. And another reason why Cyrus seems like a stronger opinion is because who's asking this question? Who's asking this? The Jewish people, right? And Cyrus the Great is a very important figure to the Jewish people. Why? Because in the time of the Prophet Daniel alayhi salam, the Yahud, the Jewish community, have always had this very love-hate relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, sometimes they're happy and sometimes they go so bad that they start doing kufr and shirk and everything. Even though Allah ta'ala sent majority of his Anbiya alayhi salam to them. It'd be over small excuses. Look in the time of Musa alayhi salam, over something small they started worshipping a calf when Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam has gone to the Mount of Tur to get some wahi. So when their transgressions became very bad, their Prophet Daniel alayhi salam warned them and they didn't listen, Allah ta'ala sent a great punishment against them. And that punishment was in the form of a king whose name was Bukhtu Nasr, or in English they say Nebuchadnezzar. And this Nebuchadnezzar, he came also from like the Iraq area, Babylon area, and he literally, you know, massacred so many Jewish people. And all the ones that were living, he took them as slaves, and they were sold as slaves. Baytul Maqdis was destroyed, Masjid al-Aqsa was destroyed by this Nebuchadnezzar. Totally, he, you know, they call it the first building of the temple in the time of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam. Nebuchadnezzar destroyed it, and that's why there was a second building of the temple, Masjid al-Aqsa, second building of Masjid al-Aqsa. And for a few hundred years, they were in persecution and hardship until Cyrus the Great came along. And this history has preserved this fact. When Cyrus the Great came along from Faris, from Persia, he liberated the Jewish people. And not only did he liberate them, he rebuilt Masjid al-Aqsa. And books of history preserve it, but they don't say whether he was a Muslim or not. They don't say any of this. But what we do know in the Torah and in the Jewish scriptures, they regard Cyrus the Great as a form of Messiah, Masih. Although he was not on the deen, they do not say that he was on the deen, it doesn't clarify anywhere. But because he rebuilt the Masjid al-Aqsa for them, and because he liberated them, and he was the cause of their salvation, they kind of look up to him as like a savior. So it makes sense. But wallahu alam. Many ulama say, mufassirun say, that Dhulqarnain was a person who lived in the time of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. He lived in the time of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. And he had a rule over the majority of the world. And he met Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah knows best. Others say that Dhulqarnain was a very pious king who lived at a certain time. And his wazir, his minister, his advisor was Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salam. That's why Khidr alayhi salam's story has been mentioned, and straight after that, Dhulqarnain. His advisor was Khidr alayhi salam. He was a very pious king, very pious man of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this opinion that he was Alexander the Great is not a strong opinion. So وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنْ ذِي الْقَرْنَيْنِ, and they are asking you about ذِي الْقَرْنَيْنِ. قُلْ سَأَتْلُوا عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْهُ ذِكْرًا. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I will make some tilawat, some mention to you regarding him. إِنَّا مَكَّنَّا لَهُ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَآتَيْنَاهُ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ سَبَبًا. Here, I've got some quotes here in Bahrul Muhit, Ibn Hayyan, Abu Hayyan al-Andalusi says, وَالْمَشْهُورُ أَنَّهُ الْإِسْكَنْدَرُ. In Baydawi Sharif, يعني الإسكندر الرومي. In Madarik al-Tanzil, al-Iskandar al-Ladhi Malak al-Dunya, Jalalin ismu Sikandar. So many, Tafsir al-Kabir of Imam Fakhruddin Razi, wajab al-qat'u bi anna al-murada bi dhil qarnayni al-Iskandar. So many Mufassirun have gone to the opinion that is Sikandar. So we can't make light of it, but this was the Mufassirun of the time, and this is what the scholars say. The scholar who kind of goes towards the fact that it's Cyrus the Great, he passed away recently, in the 1960s, Mawlana Hifdhur Rahman Siharwi, who wrote this kitab called Qasasul Quran, Stories of the Quran. In there he's done detailed research. And this Mawlana Hifdhur Rahman Siharwi rahmatullahi alayhi is a great alim, but his time, a lot of his time went into politics. At the time when India was being liberated from the clutches of the British. To the extent that he was so instrumental in the efforts that he made, that on one occasion, that Mahatma Gandhi, on one occasion was saying that the only person who I trust, who gives me good news and does hard work, is Mawlana Hifdhur Rahman. He had like so much respect for him. So he wrote this kitab called Qasas al-Quran. He's a very academic scholar, very talented, but a lot of his time went into politics. We wrote this kitab, Qasas al-Quran. He did so much research in there. And he mentions all the, you know, like explanations and all the opinions. But he kind of highlights and finalizes that it seems to be Cyrus the Great. And this is also the opinion of Marna Abul Kalam Azad, one of the great scholars of India as well. Shalom. Inna makkanna lahu fil ardi wa ataynahu min kulli shay'in sababa. Allah Ta'ala says, Inna makkanna lahu fil ardi. We granted him power upon the earth. Makkanna, humne unko tikana ata farmaya. Tikana, matlab unko mazbooti ata farmaya. We granted him strength upon the earth. Wa ataynahu min kulli shay'in sababa. And we granted him and we gave him a means towards everything. Meaning, wasa'ilu kulli shay', asbabu kulli shay'. He had the means towards everything. Meaning when someone has power and authority, they have enough money, they have enough wealth, they have enough soldiers, they have enough modes of transport to travel from one place to another place. So Allah Ta'ala is saying, we blessed him. We gave him power upon the earth and we blessed him. That's why in some narrations, Allama Imam Mujahid, the great Mufassir, he says, four people ruled the whole dunya. Four people ruled the whole dunya. One of them, two were Muslims and two were non-Muslims. The two Muslims, one was Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam. He had power over so many things in the dunya. And when you say rule the dunya, I mean they ruled things of the dunya that no one else can control after them. Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam controlled the winds, he controlled jinn, he controlled animals, he could speak the language of all the different animals and all the different creatures, subhanAllah. And then you had Dhulqarnain, so these were the two Muslims, two Muslim badshahs, two Muslim kings who ruled the whole world. And then you had two non-Muslims. One of them was Bukht Nasr, Nebuchadnezzar that I mentioned. This is the opinion of Imam Mujahid the Mufassir. And the second one was Namrud. Namrud, he also ruled a large part of the dunya. So two are Muslims and two are non-Muslims. So Allah Ta'ala says, we gave him power over everything. وَآتَيْنَاهُ مِن كُلِّ شَيْءٍ سَبَبًا. And we granted him a means to achieve anything he wanted. فَأَتْبَعَ سَبَبًا. So he adopted some means. Meaning, using the means Allah Ta'ala gave him, he traveled. Mufassir would say, using the asbab, the wasail, the tools Allah gave him, the money Allah gave him, he journeyed, he travelled. So he travelled a large part of the earth. Hatta idha balagha maghrib ash-shamsi, until he reached the setting of the sun, until he reached the place where the sun sets. Where does the sun set? In the west. So the most western part, dunya ki jo sabse maghribi jagah hai, until he reached the most western part of the world. وَجَدَهَا تَغْرُبُ فِي عَيْنٍ حَمِئَةٍ. He found the sun to be setting. فِي عَيْنٍ حَمِئَةٍ. In a spring of water which was murky, which was muddy. وَوَجَدَ عِنْدَهَا قَوْمًا. And he found a tribe, a nation, who lived close to that place. So Sayyidina Dhulqarnain is traveling. And if he was like anything like Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam, then he would travel very fast. If he had jinnat at his disposal, if he had birds, and if he had all of these things at his disposal, he would travel very fast. Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam had everything. The jinns, he had people like we mentioned last time, Abu Asif bin Barkhuwai, the person who had Ismul Azam, who could just make things happen like magic. You know, in 1 second things can happen for Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam. So if he had these means, and we know that he had something, he's a great wali of Allah as well. Remember, he was a great wali of Allah, saint of Allah. Because he will come, I'll explain where. So he traveled all the way till the western part of the land. Now where did he go? So many opinions in the books of Tafsir. Allah knows best. Allah knows best where he went. They mentioned, some say this is the Black Sea, some say so many other opinions, the Caspian Ocean, some say even beyond that, the Arctic Ocean near the South Pole, Greenland and all of this. Allah knows best. Not South Pole, sorry, North Pole, near Greenland. Allah knows best where he traveled to. But he traveled to a place where he saw the sun setting, and he saw it setting in waters which were, Ayn means spring, chashma. But the Mufassirun say it means bahar, it just means water, ocean. Which was murky, which was muddy, which was dark. Now what does that mean? Either it means that Sayyidina, obviously the sun, all the Mufassirun say, the sun does not set in water. But to the beholder, a person who's looking at it, it seems like the sun is going into the water. Right? So even if you look from the horizon far, it's like, even if you go Blackpool or wherever and you notice the sun setting, it's setting, it's like, looks like it's going into the water. So he travelled so far where it just became water and water, because the edges of the world are all water. So when he got there, he noticed the sun was setting, and the area where the sun was setting, the water was of a different texture. Yeah, either the water was very thick texture, thick, this is why I say Hamiatin could mean muddy and thick, or Hamiatin could mean black, it was dark in colour. There's another qira'ah which is hami'atin. Hami'atin in another qira'ah, which means hot. The water was boiling hot. Matlab, because it's closer to the sun, wallahu alam, the water was hot there. But he went there. What happened when he went there? وَجَدَ عِنْدَهَا قَوْمًا. He found a group of people there. قُلْنَا يَا ذَا الْقَرْنَيْنِ. And now here, Allah Ta'ala says, we said, هَمْنَا كَهَا يَا ذَا الْقَرْنَيْنِ أُوذُ الْقَرْنَيْنِ إِمَّا أَنْ تُعَذِّبَ. Either you can give them adab, either you can punish them. وَإِمَّا أَنْ تَتَّخِذَ فِيهِمْ حُسْنًا. Or either you can treat them kindly. It's up to you, you've got the choice. Who's saying we said? Allah Ta'ala. So the fact that Allah Ta'ala is saying we spoke to Dhul-Qarnayn, on the basis of this, some scholars have said, some Mufassirun have said Dhul-Qarnayn was a Nabi. Allah spoke to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Majority of Mufassirun say, no, he was not a Nabi. When Allah Ta'ala is saying we said to him, it means we reveal to the Nabi who was with him. There were Anbiya alayhi salam who were with him. Some prophet was probably in his army, in his lashkar. We made wahi to that Nabi, ke Dhul-Qarnayn ko batao, tell Dhul-Qarnayn, he can either give adab to these people, punish these people, or he can treat them kindly. Others say he was not a Nabi, but he was a wali of Allah. If he was a wali of Allah, like Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salam, he got ilham, he could get kashf, he could get all these means of communication. Allah inspired him. Either treat them kindly or punish them. And who are these people? Mufassirun say they were a group of people who were disbelievers. Kuffar. They did not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Sayyidina Dhul-Qarnayn, he's traveling upon the earth, and because he's a mu'min, a believer, his travels, the basis of his travel is i'la'u kalimatillah. Raising the religion of Islam, ensuring that people believe in Allah Ta'ala upon the earth. This is the reason why he's traveling. So now when he finds a group of people who do not believe in Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala said to him, look, either you can be strict against them, or you can be soft upon them. You've been given that choice. قال أما من ظلم فسوف نعذبه ثم يرد إلى ربه فيعذبه عذابا نكرا. سيدنا ذو القرنين said, قال, he said, أما من ظلم. As for that person who is a wrongdoer, an oppressor. ظلم, ظلم can mean ظلم, harming other people, oppressing other people, but ظلم also means shirk. Like we know when سيدنا لقمان عليه السلام said to his son, يا بني لا تشرك بالله إن الشرك لظلم عظيم. Oh my beloved son, don't associate partners with Allah because this is great zulm. So this is zulm. Those people who committed shirk, associated partners with Allah, do not believe in Allah, then we will surely punish them. We will punish them in this world. We will not allow them to continue doing shirk. Mufassirun say Sayyidina Dhul-Qarnayn gave them option. Either become Muslim. If you don't become Muslim, then, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed me that, you know, you are going to have to face the consequences of shirk. ثُمَّ يُرَدُّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ. Thereafter that person will return back to their Lord. They will be returned back to their Lord. فَيُعَذِّبُهُ عَذَابًا نُكْرًا. And then their Rabb will punish them with a very severe, very serious punishment, which is the punishment of Jahannam. So this dunya is لَنُذِيقَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. In this dunya Allah Ta'ala says, we give them small adab, meaning small test, so that you understand that this is a small glimpse. The real adab is the adab of the akhirah. If they make tawbah now and they change their ways and all of this, then it's fine. But if they don't, then remember the fire of the akhirah. وَلَا عَذَابُ الْآخِرَةِ أَكْبَرُ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. The adab of the akhirah is far worse, if only they understood. وَأَمَّا مَنْ آمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا. And as for those people who have brought iman, who bring iman and who do good deeds, then فَلَهُ جَزَاءً الْحُسْنَى. Then they will have a good reward. Good reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They brought iman and they do good amal, they will have a good reward. وَسَنَقُولُ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِنَا يُسْرًا. And even in our dealings with them, our interactions with them, in our statements and kalam with them, we will be very soft with them. Mufassirun say, Sayyidina Dhul-Qarnayn is saying, وَسَنَقُولُ لَهُ. And we will speak to them, مِنْ أَمْرِنَا, in all of our affairs, يُسْرًا, with ease, with softness. Meaning if our speech will be soft with these people, then our dealings, بَطَرِيقَ أُولَى, you know, will be soft with these people. Our interactions will be kind with these people. That the believers' treatment with other believers is one of softness, one of kindness, one of gentleness. So if you bring Iman and Islam, then you will not be touched. Rather, even in our dealings and our speech with you, our guftagu will be so soft and kind. But if you continue to do shirk, then we're going to be very harsh upon you. And then ثُمَّ أَتْبَعَ سَبَبًا. So that was his journey towards the west. Sayyidina Dhul-Qarnayn. And then Allah Ta'ala said he made another journey towards the east. And inshallah, I think we'll continue from the next week. Inshallah. Allah Ta'ala, I'm supposed to say somebody in a seat for me. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, subhanakallah, alhamdulillah, shalwa, la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. يعني ما كلمه خد كلمه جيش